Let's pray. Jesus, we do need you right now. And Jesus, today's message cannot change anyone. But Jesus, you can change. You can change us and you can show us the way to new life. And I pray that you would do that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So on an average day, how many decisions do you think you make? Okay, some of them are really big, like am I going to yell at my boss or not? Some of them are maybe a little smaller, like am I going to stop at this gas station or that gas station? And then when you go inside, am I going to get this candy bar or that hot dog? And what am I going to put on my hot dog? And there's 17,000 types of peanut butter that you have to pass in the store, and which version of creamy are you going to get? Lots and lots of decisions. And I have no idea how many decisions we face each day, but if you Google it, the popular thing on the internet is this figure. So 35,000 decisions for the average adult a day, and I don't know where they get that from. I don't know if someone followed someone around. That number is crazy. If you didn't sleep at all and tried to make 35,000 decisions in the next 24 hours, you'd have less than 2.5 seconds per decision. So good luck, good decisions. And you might think, well, that's crazy. How could we ever decide that much? But think about today. Some of the stuff is like, which foot are you going to put a sock on first? Or which door are you going to walk through? Some of these decisions are so small, we don't think about them at all. And typically what we default to is we just do whatever we did yesterday. It's kind of like sometimes you drive places you've been a lot and you don't even remember driving there. You just kind of go through the motions. It's kind of scary sometimes. You're like, how did I get here? Some of these decisions maybe are not very important, but some of them have a big effect down the line. So what you ate for breakfast this morning is probably not that important, the grand scheme of your health. But there could come a day where you're staring up at ugly ceiling panels of a hospital and you think, wow, all those eating decisions I made over those years, that was important. Or if you've come to Maywood long enough, you've heard Bob talk about the first 5 minutes when your family or whoever you live with, when you guys reunite in the evening, the first 5 minutes is so important. It sets the tone for the rest of the evening. And if you talk to your spouse and like, here, do this, I need this, I had a horrible day, doesn't go well typically. But if you come in and are loving for just 5 minutes, it seems like the whole night can go much better. And that's true with your kids or with the other guys you live at Maple House with or like whoever's at the house with you. A lot of us have heard that idea about the first 5 minutes being important, but we think, oh, that's just 5 minutes, it's not that important. But again, those stack up and turn into a lot of evenings of not connecting, can turn into a divorce, or it can turn into being older and not having a connection with your kids or their kids, or it can turn into a really great relationship if you do the positive side. So some of this stuff seems small, and then when you think about the impact, you think, oh, that could actually stack up and be big. But if you're anything like me, I have a natural bend towards feeling guilty about stuff. And so if you're anything like me, you start suddenly listing all the things you could do better. Maybe the first thing is like, well, thanks, Jake, for having all these donuts here at Maywood. Like, I already messed up my breakfast being healthy. And maybe you think like, oh, I've really messed up the way I can't, you know, treated my spouse yesterday or whatever. You start stacking up all these things. Suddenly you have like 100 things you want to do better. If you've ever tried to make New Year's resolutions or something, maybe you see that and you're like, okay, so I'm going to get clean. I'm going to take, you know, care of all this debt. I'm going to be a perfect spouse and a perfect dad, and I'm going to have a six-pack and blah, blah, blah. You're going to do all this stuff, and within about 20 minutes or maybe a couple of days, you feel like this lady. It's just like, I can't do all these great things that I want to do. A lot of times we know a lot of good ideas, but when you start trying to do them throughout the day, most of us get overwhelmed. And we've all had that experience of we wanted to change, and we woke up and we were the same. We wanted to change, and then we just kept being the same person. So the big question to start our sermon is going to determine whether this has any chance to help you at all today. You have to make a decision right at the start. So here's our decision. You got two options. You got your old way that you lived your life every day until this morning. And you got this option for a new way, a new life. And if you're here today and you're like, you know, I'm pretty lazy and I'm also pretty honest, so I'm not going to change. Then, like, it's okay. You can tune out for the rest of the sermon, I think. Like you're, congratulations. You're as good as you're ever going to be, you know. But if you're here today and you're like, you know, I really struggle with anger, or I'm not really living, you know, I know the things I'm doing sexually are not the way that God wants me to do them. Or I know being addicted in this way is not what God wants for me. Or I know I'm supposed to be full of love towards people, but I typically am just full of judgment. If you have an area of your life you think, I want a new life, and I think Jesus might have the way to get there, then I'm going to talk about a very, very simple idea. If you've come to church a few times, you've already heard it. But then we're going to get practical and maybe a new way about how to put that into action, okay? So stick with me. It's a very, very simple idea here. Last week, Carl even said it. So here's four words of having a new life, okay? Very simple. About as short of sentences as you could get. Read Bible, apply it. Four words. Read the Bible and apply it. See what Jesus says and then do something about it. Now, that's like the simplest form of a sermon you probably will ever hear. If you listen to a lot of sermons, you hear the same idea over and over and over. So why do we keep talking about this? Well, it's because if we do it, it works, but it's hard to do. Jesus ends his most famous sermon in Matthew 7, and he says this. He uses a little bit better analogy, though. He talks about, if you do what I say, this is Jesus talking, you're like a person that builds their house on a rock, and their life can last. It can weather storms. The good things they do have a purpose and they matter. But he says, if you listen to me and you don't do what I say, then your life's going to fall apart with a great crash. So some of us are here today because our life already fell apart. You're here today because there's some giant catastrophe has happened and you realized, whoa, I need a new game plan. I'm glad that you're here today. I think Jesus has it. Some of us are here today. This is a scarier one, and your crash hasn't happened yet. You're sitting in church each week, but you're not doing what Jesus says. And Jesus says there's a crash headed your way. There's a storm going to come, and you're not going to be able to stand for it. So some of us, our crash is coming a month from now, or 5 years from now, or 10 years from now. But you have to choose whether you're going to be ready and change or not. So I said we're going to get practical about how to actually do this, because a lot of us have heard this and we still don't do it. So here's one way to put this into practice. It's not the only way. If you have a better way, I'm all ears, but there's definitely lots of ways to do this. Here's one version that we're going to talk about today. So first thing you got to do, you do have to open up a Bible or open up an app on your phone or something, get to the Bible. And what you're going to be looking for what we're talking about, you're looking for a passage, a few sentences, a paragraph or two, that jumps off the page to you. I believe Jesus can speak to us through the Bible. So when you read it, you say, Jesus, what do you want me to build on? I'm looking for a building site. Where do you want me to build my life on? Now, as you're reading through the Bible, something jumps off the page, you pick those verses out. You say, okay, this is what I'm building on. I'm not just looking at this for today. I'm focusing on this. Now, some of you hear, like, read the Bible, find a spot that connects with you, and you're like, I don't know how to do that, Jake. I don't know what to do. So I'm going to call out all of our small group leaders. If you guys and ladies will stand for me real quick. You didn't know I was going to do this to you. But if you lead a small group at Maywood, stand up. Okay, so we got lots of wonderful ladies, lots of wonderful guys. And then Chad's here too, you know, so I'll just show you. So you guys can sit down for me. But you guys saw all those folks. Chad is amazing, by the way. That's why I can can put them out like that. But find one of those people, and they don't have all the answers, but find one of those people and say, hey, talk to me about a passage that could help me. Talk to me about a passage I could build on. Maybe share something about, like, yeah, my marriage isn't going so good, or I've got a big problem at this in my life. And honestly, they may not know the answer right away, but they will help you find a passage of Scripture. Say, hey, this talks about that area of your life you want to work on. So if you really want to change, you got to be humble enough to ask somebody for help. So ask one of those people. If you don't know where to get started in the Bible, ask one of those people, how do I start? Okay? So the next thing you've got to do is you got to face that passage of Scripture over and over and over. A lot of folks will read a little bit of the Bible, and then the next day they read a little bit more, and the next day they read a little bit more, and the next day they read a little bit more. And if they're doing really good, they think about what they read the day they read it, and then they forget it. And so if they're reading about forgiveness and you cut them off in traffic, like, they're going to probably forgive you that day. But if you cut them off the next day, like, then they're screaming at you again because they read about helping the poor or something. It has nothing to do with traffic, you know, so they've forgotten it. So here's how it works here at Maywood. I want to give you guys a practical example. What does it look like to look at a passage over and over and try to build on it? What does that actually look like? How do you make decisions based on the Bible? So here at Maywood, there's two passages. We call them our vision passages. And we come back to those over and over and over. And don't try to read. I don't want to make you guys go blind. We're going to get to these verses in a second. But I did just copy. That's a little flyer that I hand out as head coach here. Anytime we have a coaches meeting every Monday, Bob and Wayne and I meet, I hand these papers out to them. And every week I make Bob read one of these and Wayne read one of them out loud. We always start our meetings that way. And the budget committee at Maywood is meeting right now. They start their meetings by reading this. Any of the big leadership groups here at Maywood, they start things by reading this. Why is that? Why do we read the same thing over and over? It's because we always want to check ourselves against Scripture and say, am I living up to what it says? We are really, really good as humans about squeezing our own best thinking and our own excuses into stuff. And so whatever truth God taught you a week ago or even a year ago, if you haven't gone back and looked at it again, then you've kind of muddled it with your own version of it. So when you go and look at the Scripture again in a fresh way, you say, am I really doing this? So here's, if you're curious, here's what Maywood is shooting for. Every week, this is what we're trying to be, and we're trying to get better towards it. So the first passage is Matthew 28. This is Jesus' last thing he says here on earth in the Gospel of Matthew. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So he tells his disciples, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go do something that impacts other people, brings them to new life in me. It gets a little more specific. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So here at Maywood, we're really blessed by God that we do get to baptize a lot of folks. A lot of adults come to new life here at Maywood. And that's something we should be about because this is what Jesus calls us to be about. But we're also big on trying to teach people to obey everything Jesus commanded. That if someone comes and they get dunked in the water, like that's not the end of the road for us. The end of the road is only when that person is doing the stuff that Jesus does. That's what we're shooting for as a church. So this isn't new stuff. Most churches are shooting for that sort of stuff. But we check ourselves every week with, are we actually doing that? Are we making disciples? And God gave us another passage about how to get there. It comes in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 7. It says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Read it in this next verse here. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. If you were kind enough earlier to listen to my little spiel about, hi, I'm Coach Jake, and we call our pastors coaches because we believe that God's gifted Howard differently than Heather. Thank you for listening to that. Always, I feel a little boring sometimes when I say that. But the reason we say it is because of this passage. We changed our names from Pastor Bob and Pastor Jake and Pastor Wayne to Coach because of this passage. And we believe that God has gifted every person that follows him because of this passage. So we changed something because of this. It says, what does he ascended mean except for that Jesus also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. So it says here, Jesus gave leaders to a church, and he's about to tell us why. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So he doesn't say that pastors are here to make everybody like him, or that pastors are here to pray over meals, or that pastors are here to have all everyone's answers, or that pastors are here to help everybody in town come to Jesus, or that pastors are here to always visit the hospital, always be there to marry someone, or always pick up their cell phone when you call. It says, when Jesus judges me as pastor at Maywood, Jesus is going to say, Jake, how many people did you equip to do my work? How many people did you help find their gifts, use their gifts, and be strong enough Christians to be effective? And that's how Jesus is going to judge me. And so I want to look at this scripture a lot because I am going to stand face to face with Jesus and I want a smile on his face. And so, but it's a challenge to me because as a regular person or maybe as a weak person, like I want to just run around from thing to thing and please people. It's real easy to do that as a pastor. But that's not what my work is supposed to be about. So we read that a lot so we can get better at living up to it. The last verse of our vision passage, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So I know myself well enough that even on my best day with Jesus, I don't look like all of Jesus. Had somebody come down front and pray to be healed of a physical ailment they're struggling from right then, and I prayed for them. But I know that, like, I can't heal like Jesus can heal. But gifts of healing are real things that God gives some of his people. He gives different gifts to different people. There's somebody in Independence who could probably pray for that person and have Jesus heal them right away. And I know that God hasn't made me to be that person. So I know I need a team of people. I know that there's a lot of things that people, you know, Josie can do things that I can't do. Mike can do things that I can't do. And there's a piece of Jesus inside of Josie that'll never shine through me the same way that it'll shine through her. So that's where we get all this coach and team and all that goofiness. That comes because we believe the truths of these passages. So you see how, like, all of Maywood, it's starting to try to fit into what do these passages say. And imagine if your life started to all try to fit and revolve around something that God gave you out of Scripture. It's a really powerful way to live. Because when I'm trying to decide what to do, should I do this or this, I can come back to, is it making disciples? And it tells me what a disciple is. I can come back to, am I equipping somebody else to use their gifts? Because if this is the Jake Taylor show, like, then that's not Jesus' program, you know? So I need to be doing this. So let's talk about brass tacks. How does it actually work in real practice? Well, here's an example of what the coaches did with this. So this is from a couple years ago, but we used to always do a fall festival, biggest event at Maywood any time of the year. More than 1,000 people would come, which as a pastor, when 1,000 people are doing anything that's happening at your church, it does make you feel like, oh, that's cool. Lots of people are doing something. Is a tradition for us to do. Kids really liked it. We had bounce houses. We'd have tons of food, trunk or treat, face painting, carnival games. But we had to ask ourselves, this last year we asked, does Jesus want us to keep doing the fall festival? Just because we did it in the past doesn't mean it's the right thing to do this year. And so we didn't know for sure. Because you start comparing it to the passages, and even though it's a fun event and lots of people like it and everyone expects it, the passages don't say do what everyone likes, do what everyone expects. So we compared it to another option. That's a really healthy thing for you guys to do as you're looking at the Bible. You're saying, should I do this or should I do that? Compare a couple of different options. So we looked at an option we'd actually said no to in the past because we didn't have enough resources to pull it off. And that is obviously what we're about to do this next week, this eyeglass giveaway. Why did we decide to do the eyeglass giveaway and not do the fall festival? The reality of the church's life and your own life is you can't do everything. And there's things in life that aren't evil, but they're not the best thing that God wants to do through you. And when we looked at the two events, we said, okay, the fall festival, it costs a lot of money. It involves a lot of volunteers. It brings a lot of attention to us. But at the end of the day, we looked real closely. It didn't make any disciples. Nobody was following Jesus this year because of the fall festival last year. And we looked at, is it developing people's gifts? You know, does somebody say, I never was into art, and then I face painted at the fall festival, and now I have a sculpture ministry, and blah, blah, blah. Like that never happened. It would have been awesome if it did, but nothing about, I mean, it wasn't bad. Lots of really great folks, a bunch of people in this room, we did it together. Is a good effort, but it didn't equip people to do anything different in their lives. No one said, I found a gift and started using it for Jesus. So the eyeglass giveaway, originally it was set up, this other organization comes in, they give out glasses to the community, and they make a pitch about come know Jesus. And we said, well, that event, it really fits our first passage pretty well. It's about people coming to know Jesus. That's a great first step to become a disciple. But then Bob had the idea, I think, I'm not sure which one of us, of what if we talked to this organization and said, we want our own Maywood people to get coached on how to share their faith with people in the neighborhood. And so they were like, sure, you can do that. So we changed the event to have that. So then it fits our second passage too. I don't know, is Ethan up there today? I see Jeremy and Lisa. Yeah, Ethan's up there. So Ethan was my partner during the training, and Ethan's up there in like the very back row. He's one of our greeters. So he's one of our youth. And most of you probably don't know Ethan just because, I mean, that's probably a good thing when you're a youth and not everyone knows you. If everyone knew you, it'd probably be for who knows why. But I saw Ethan. I saw this kid who was learning how to share something really deeply important to him and talk about his faith. And I thought, this is great. Like the training that Bob's doing, it's having an impact on Ethan and it's having an impact on other people too. So when we weigh the two things out, we can't do both. It was real clear, we're going to try the eyeglass event. It may not be a new tradition, we're not sure, but we're trying to fit our church to the scripture that God's given us. So what if you tried to fit your life to the scripture that God gave you? You know, maybe you would pick one, maybe you're working on sobriety today. You know, I had somebody show me their 1 month coin today, and it was they're at a great spot. They just got that this week. So if you were working on sobriety, maybe you pick Ephesians 5:18, and it says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And typically when you pick a passage of scripture, particularly if you pick one that's long enough, you won't get just a negative. A lot of times when we start trying to apply scripture to our life, we might say like, oh, I got to get rid of this and this and this. And so for that one, you might say, oh, I can't go to that store anymore. And I can't hang around these people anymore, and I need to avoid this place, and that will help me stay sober. But as you keep reading that verse every day, you realize the point of Christianity isn't just to cut bad stuff out of your life. The point of Christianity is always to replace it with better stuff. And just like that verse says, it says, don't get drunk on wine, but what? But be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so you then start asking God every day, God, what does it mean to be filled with your Holy Spirit? God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, show me how to be filled with your Holy Spirit. And someone might try to explain that to you. Oh, what does that mean in a couple sentences? Like that's a journey to go on with God to figure out how can I be full of what you've given me, Jesus? And so maybe as you're doing that, you think, oh, when I read my Bible, man, I get closer to God. Or when I helped that guy under 435, the overpass over there, I felt so full of the Holy Spirit. And so you start connecting those two things together. You say, next time I'm tempted to drink, I'm going to go find somebody to help because I don't want to get drunk. I want to be full of the Holy Spirit. You see how this starts to play out? You start to face your decisions and you put them through that filter of Scripture. So maybe it's Thursday night, you don't have anything to do. Well, then you pull out Ephesians 5:18 and you say, what am I supposed to do? Well, I know I'm not supposed to do that, and I am supposed to do this. And then you decide what to do based on that. It's a very powerful way to make decisions. Instead of just saying, I'm going to do whatever I did last time, or I'm going to do whatever feels good. What if you said, I'm going to look at this scripture again, and I'm going to build on it every day. I'm going to try to build on that scripture over and over and over. So last slide I've got for us, I'm going to camp out here for just a little bit. This idea of building, when people build stuff, like here's a construction site, most projects, they don't just take 10 minutes. They don't just take one day. Your life, getting it connected with Jesus and the way Jesus wants it to be, it's not going to just be done in a day. It's not going to just be done in 10 minutes. But what if this week you said, maybe you're going to read the Bible every day. That's a great thing. Keep reading the Bible every day. But what if you picked out one passage of Scripture? You said, every day this week, I'm going to build on that passage. I'm going to make sure my decisions fit that passage. And just stuck with it until Jesus gave you another one. So, for instance, how this can work, two weeks ago, my small group was reading in Matthew, and so two verses really jumped off the page to me. So this week, my goal of my small group was, you guys cannot see this probably, but I used packing tape, and I just taped those two verses to the back of my phone. And so they talk about how generous God is, and then how we need to be loving to other people. It's Matthew 7, 11 through 12, if you want to read it. But I first looked into it because I was struggling with worry and just being overwhelmed. And that passage was talking about God's provision. But as I was reading it and thinking about it every day, it very distinctly led me to had two very different interactions with my wife this week than what I would have had normally. Like, it made me change from one attitude to another, from selfish to generous a couple different times. And then that led to more good interactions with my wife. So by building my life on what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 11 through 12, just in 1 week, I have a little bit better marriage. It's not like it's night and day. It's not like it changed everything. But it's a step in the right direction. I put one block towards a healthy marriage because I built on Jesus' word. And imagine your life this week. If you said, I'm going to pick a spot in Scripture, and I'm going to filter what I do based on what that Scripture says. I'm going to see what it says, and I'm going to read it over and over and over and make my decisions based on it. So the cell phone thing, maybe you don't want to tape something to the back of your phone. I had a look from some people in first service, like, that's going to get so gross so fast, like tape in your pocket. It's a bad idea. So maybe you want to put a scripture on your car or in your mirror. I don't know where you want to put it. But you have to decide, okay, I'm going to find a passage of scripture, and then I'm going to build my decisions on that scripture. And trust me, like, this is really, really simple. No one's going to say, like, oh, man, Jake is a genius for today's sermon. You know what I mean? Like, this is so simple. But it doesn't mean it's not true. If you take a small piece of scripture and every day this week make decisions based on that scripture, then your life's going to be different in just a week. And imagine if you did it for a month. Imagine if you did it for a year. And stick with that scripture until Jesus gives you another one. You know, until you feel like, okay, I've got that one down, and now I'm adding another block onto this building that Jesus is doing. So, decision time right now before I pray for you guys. First thing is, do you need to talk to one of those small group leaders? Do you need to say, hey, help me find a passage? If you don't need to talk to somebody, then you got to find one on your own. So that's the first decision. When are you going to find a passage of scripture? Then the second one is, what are you going to do with that passage of scripture so you have to face it every day? Don't just stick it underneath your Bible and expect yourself to go pick it up every day. Stick it somewhere you'll be forced to see it every day. Final thing is, every day when you see it, you got to actually start making decisions on it. I really loved the answer of one of the ladies at my table. I won't say her name, but at my table down in Sunday school class, She said, Jesus has been telling me stuff this week, and I feel like I've been betraying him because I just haven't been doing it when it's not convenient. And I just thought, like, whoa. Like, when you're that honest, then you can actually make some improvements. When you say, you know what? I knew what Jesus wanted me to do, and I went the other direction. If you get step one down, if you find a passage, and you get step two down, and you look at the passage, all you got to do left is actually obey it. Remember Jesus said, if you listen to what I say and you don't do it, then it's not helpful. Okay? So very, very simple to say on stage. Very, very different to do it this week when you're like, I really, you know, that girl over there is hardly wearing any clothes. I really want to go hang out with her or something. It's like, well, my verse this week is Colossians 3:5 about putting to death lust. What should I do? I'll probably go hang out with these guys who are not going to tempt me at all or whatever, you know. Like, so it becomes very clear. Some of us don't want to do this because we don't want it to be clear. We like the fog because we use it as an excuse. Well, I didn't really know what God wanted me to do, and so that's how I wound up in this terrible situation. But how about you get out of the fog this week and you say, I'm going to really face it. I'm going to really look, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And I'm going to be man enough or woman enough to face it and at least know what type of person I am. I'm an obedient follower of Jesus or I'm a scoundrel, you know. And at least you can work with yourself then if you know who you are. All of us are scoundrels before we start following Jesus too. I mean, so you're in good company, you know, in this room. But let me pray a blessing over us, and we'll wrap up. Jesus, I thank you that you gave us something to build on. We don't have to invent the right decisions. We just have to submit to your word. God, I pray this week you would show us the right passage to build on. I pray you'd give us the courage to build. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.